Thank you, Don. If you have a Bible, I'd like you to open it to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6. Moms, we have a little, after the service, on your way out, we just have a little free token for, I think it's a free blizzard at Dairy Queen. It's just our little way of saying thank you this morning. The guys, be sure and grab your little coupon and we're going to give the men one on Father's Day, so if you want to save yours and make a date out of it, you can. Or if you just really got a hunger for that blizzard, go this afternoon. I think we're going to go this afternoon. Barb said earlier, can we go get my blizzard? So we're going to go. So we'll meet you up at the Dairy Queen this afternoon and enjoy our blizzards together. Well, let's ask God to speak to our hearts. Father, we thank you again as we open your word. It is truth. It is without error. It gives life. It is a breath from you. And so, Father, again, we understand that there's this dynamic that in order for us to understand your word that was written by the Spirit of God, that the Spirit within us, those two must connect. And so we pray that you might, by your Spirit, and through the Holy Spirit within us, Father, be able to understand and be able to articulate it, and then also for us to be able to apply it into our lives individually. So speak is our prayer, O Lord. Pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You stop and think about it. God is on the mountain, and he's speaking that voice from the fire, and he has 10 commandments. And one of the 10, he thinks that is so important is this command, Exodus chapter 20 in verse 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So as God is speaking, as we've been discussing here, God's eternal, unchanging moral law, which is required of every human, to whom every human will one day give an account before the Lord of his moral law, God commands. It means that we're going to give an account, right? God commands that we honor our father and our mother. So the question is what kind of relationship must children have with their parents? And the answer is, we are to have an honoring relationship, which should characterize our relationship with our parents is this, is that what should characterize it is honor. So we've been studying the Ten Commandments, as you know, and last week we looked at the second commandment, and so it would be only logical that this morning we would look at the third commandment. But because today is Mother's Day, we're gonna jump ahead. I thought it was maybe because Mother's Day is that we're gonna jump ahead to the fifth commandment. This commandment that God gives from the mountain, to honor our father and mother. Now, I jump ahead with just a little reservation because there's significance in the way in which God gave these Ten Commandments. The first four commandments, as we've already, I hope, are beginning to see, they speak to our relationship with God. They describe the kind of worship that we are to have before God. Commandment number one, you shall have no other God before me. So commandment number one tells us who to worship. Worship God alone. Commandment number two, as we saw last week, you shall not make for yourself a carved image. You need to worship the one true God in the right way. Next week, looking forward to it, we're going to look at commandment number three, and that's the commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. So again, this way of how we honor this one God that we are to worship in the right way. And then the end of the month, May 26th, we're going to look at this commandment that you are to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So the greatest need, as we've mentioned already in this series, the greatest need for every human is that God be acknowledged and worshiped as the holy God. And so it's only natural, if this is your greatest need, it is your greatest need, and it is my greatest need, to acknowledge God and to worship God as he is. It's only natural that when God spoke from the mountain, he began speaking of our relationship with him, our vertical relationship. And that's what he does in that first four commandments. Sometimes we talk about the first tablet of the Ten Commandments. But then he switches, beginning in the fifth commandment, to which one we're going to look at here this morning, this commandment to honor your father and your mother. He switches now to our horizontal relationships. So we're to love God, right, supremely. We're to worship him in the right way. Next week, we're going to learn how we're to honor God, and we honor God by not taking his name in vain and honoring his name. And we do that, but then that now should, there should be a result of that in our lives, and that is we should start loving people. We should start loving people like we love ourselves. We should start loving people more than ourselves. The horizontal, the vertical relationship leads to the horizontal relationships. And Jesus summarized the Ten Commandments in this way in Matthew 22 and verse 37 to verse 40. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and the first commandment. This is commandment 1 through 4. And the second is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is commandment 5 through 10. And on these two commandments depend all the law of the prophet. And so you can't separate this. You know, you can't say, well, I love God, but I don't love my neighbor as myself. No, these two things fit together like a glove. John said it like this. If anyone says that I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. You don't love God. You can't say you love God and then not love your neighbor as yourself. So as we're loving God and as we are worshiping God, there's an outflow of that in our relationships with other people. And what relationship do you think that God chooses to hone in on first? Of all the relationships that we have to demonstrate our love to God, what relationship is it that God chooses to focus in on here horizontally? You got it. Our parents. Our parents. Our love and worship for God is first displayed in our relationships with our parents and how we honor them. So again, there's this connection. That's why I hate just a little bit jumping ahead already to 5, because we haven't finished the first 4. But there is this connection. And these last 6 that we're going to start here in commandment number 5, they can't be taken out of context, right? These aren't just good suggestions, you know, for a happier life. Honor your parents. No. They are to be obeyed out of, as a result of, our love for God and a desire for him to be exalted and glorified. Now, this commandment is repeated, as we will see when we begin to even walk through the rest of the commandments. We'll see it next week. Is these commandments are repeated in the New Testament, and here's the prime case here in Ephesians chapter 6, and that's why I had you open your Bibles there, Ephesians chapter 6. So just read it with me, beginning in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, what Paul does here, as you see it there, he adds a little phrase there, a prepositional phrase at the end of verse 1. Children, obey your parents, and notice what he says, in the Lord. And so what he's telling us is that we are to honor our parents. It is to be done unto the Lord. So when we honor our parents, we are acknowledging and understanding that the authority that our parents have over us is from God himself. Your father and your mother is the first authority figure that God has chosen to place in your life. And so to show honor to your parents is to show honor to the Lord himself. You see, we are to put our parents in the proper place.
We're to put them in their place. And the place that God has put our parents in our life is directly as a result of what God has chosen for us by putting them in their place in our lives. You see, all authority is from God. And God has entrusted his authority in whom he wills. God is not perplexed when he watches the evening news by the chaos. He is not concerned and agitated by what's going on in the world. God is sovereignly in control, and he has authority over all things, and he hands out his authority and gives his authority, as we read in Daniel chapter 4, to whom he wills. And he gives his authority in Hebrews chapter 13. He gives his authority in the church. And he gives his authority in the workplace. And he gives his authority in the government. God entrusts, just think about it, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And then God gives his authority in the home. So he gives it in the church. He gives it in government. He gives it in the workplace. And he gives it in the home. You can't get away from authority. And God has entrusted his authority to parents. And the first authority figure we have given to us from the Lord is our parents. And so this fifth commandment, again, the first relationship that we need to think about if we're really loving God with all of our hearts is our need as humans to submit to authority. And this needs to be learned first in the home. We talked as we began this series about our struggle we as humans have with authority. Why people want to get rid of the Ten Commandments. Because we all have this problem. We all have this in our DNA, and it's all this thing called rebellion. And people touch wet paint when the sign says not to touch wet paint because people don't want to be told what to do. Because submission is not natural to us. Submission is not a part in our DNA, and submission has to be learned, and submission has to be taught. And our greatest need as humans, as we said, is to acknowledge God and to worship him as he is, and to this is our greatest need, is to submit to God our maker. And this need to submit to God our maker, to submit to authority of God, first must be developed and trained in a child's life. And the way it is trained is by teaching children to submit to the authority of their parents. Parental authority, I really believe, is the breeding ground for children to learn to submit to God's authority in their life. So as a parent, You are first and foremost an authority figure in your child's life. You're not their friend, first and foremost. Yes, friendship will be developed, and yes, you hope that someday you'll be your child's friend, but your first responsibility as a parent is to be the authority figure in your child's life and to teach your child how to submit to authority. And the way you teach your child to submit to authority is by teaching your child to submit to your authority in the home. And again, it's not to be their friend, right? But it's to be their parent, to be their authority figure. And they might not like it, right? And they might think they've got the meanest dad or the meanest mom. I mean, this is a tall task. And I need to add quickly, this isn't in any way an opportunity for you as a parent to abuse the authority that God has entrusted to you. As a parent, you need to understand the weight and the responsibility of the place that God has put you in your child's life. And matter of fact, Paul addresses that in verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 6. He says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Man, there is a whole sermon right there of ways in which fathers have provoked their children to anger because they have abused the issue of authority in their life. Well, this morning, I want us to consider five quick questions about this issue of honoring, why God chose, you know, the importance of honoring our parents is something so important that he's going to speak it as one of the Ten Commandments. So what does it mean? Okay, we're going to talk about it. What does it mean to honor your parents? Let me give you the quick five questions. What does it mean to honor your parents? How do you honor your parents? What if your parents are not worthy of honor? What happens if you don't honor your parents? And then we'll close by what happens when you do honor your parents. So let's quickly go through these. What does it mean to honor your parents? Well, when God says that we are to honor our parents, he could have used a lot of different words to describe our relationship and responsibility to our parents. But what is fascinating is he chooses the same word that he uses to describe his glory. The Hebrew word is kabod. It means to give weight, to regard as heavy in the sense of worth. And to honor someone is to say that they're a heavyweight in my life, that they have a place of high respect and worth in my life. And so we are to recognize, we are to esteem and give weight to our mothers and fathers. We're to give weight in the sense of we are concerned about what they think and what they desire. Illustration is given of George Washington, our first president, and when he was quite young, he was about to go to sea as a midshipman. Everything was ready. His trunk was taken on board the boat, and he went to bid his mother farewell. And when he saw tears filling her eyes, seeing her distress, he turned to the servant and said, "Go and tell them to fetch my trunk back. I will not go away and break my mother's heart." Becoming a midshipman had been his dream from the earliest ages, and his brothers had the same dream and were part of the British Navy. George himself had signed up when he was 15 years old. But George Washington totally abandoned his will, his plan, his dreams, because he gave weight and honor to her desires. Your mom needs to be a heavyweight in your life. The Old Testament word is kabod, the same word God uses our response to give him the glory. In the New Testament, the word simply means to honor, to prize someone according to their worth. Jesus used it this way, that all should honor the Son in John chapter 5. Just as they honor the Father, he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent me. Again, to prize, to set high value on them, to esteem them highly, to give weight to them. William Keller said it like this: many of us take better care of our cars than we do of our mothers. And yet we only expect our cars to last 5 or 6 years, and we expect our mothers to last for a lifetime. And so the question is, do you honor your mom? Do you prize your mother? Do you give high value? Do you give great concern to your mother's opinions and her advice and her desire and her counsel? To honor your mother is to esteem her highly, because God has put her in a vital place in your life. Question number two: well, how do you honor your parents? Well, I gave you a real quick sweeping, broad, general description of honor, but what does this look like? So let's just break it down. Let's break it down first of all to let's say the growing years. You're still at home. You're still under your parents' roof. Let's put it like that way. Well, the growing years, well, Paul tells us here in Ephesians, you honor your parents by obeying them. Children, obey your parents. And the word obey simply means to listen under, to listen to your parents, understanding that they are your authority in your life and you are to obey. Now, I need to add this, kids. You are to obey your parents as long as they aren't telling you to do something that is wrong and goes against Scripture. If you come home and you tell your parents about the bully at school and your dad says, "Well, man, you know, you'll teach him a little something about stealing stuff out of your locker. Next time you see him alone in the hallway, just, you know, give him one, you know, give him a," we used to call them knuckle sandwich, I don't know what you call them now, but just let him have it, okay? I would say, look, In that case, no, don't obey your parents, right? The Bible says vengeance is mine, okay? It's not your place to take anger and try to settle justice, okay? But and otherwise, if it's not contrary to Scripture, you are to what? You're to obey your parents. And again, when it's really hard and it doesn't make sense to you and you don't want to and you're fighting, and again, because you got inside of you, you've got this rebellious DNA and you don't want to, you gotta stop and remember that your parents stand in the place of God for you. In essence, they've been given the badge of authority, and they are functioning as God's vice regent over your life. And so you obey them. Verse 1, children, obey your parents, what? In the Lord, for this is right. So you understand that your obedience, man, I just totally, I don't get it, I don't like it, I don't understand it, I know my parents are wrong, but I'm obeying in the Lord. I'm obeying for His sake, because God has put them in authority over me. Here's another reason. That's a good reason. But here's another one. Maybe just back up. Take a couple steps back. Go to your room. Think about it for a second. Listen, your parents usually have your best interests at stake, right? They've been around the block. They know a couple things maybe that maybe you haven't learned. They usually do have your best interests at stake. And so you stop and think, man, that just doesn't make any sense. And if that doesn't help, then again, because you want to be God's kind of person and you're focusing on your relationship with God, you just go back and you look to the example of Jesus. And in Luke chapter 51, we see Jesus did this. Jesus obeyed his parents and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was what? There's our word. He was submissive to them, and his mother treasured up all these things in her hearts. So I'd say this, if you're still living at home and you're still under your parental authority under their roof, listen to this. Obedience isn't determined by whether you understand what they are telling you, okay, to do, and whether it's right or wrong in your own mind. Your obedience is based upon you understanding the place that God has put them in your life at this time, and so you obey in the Lord. Well, here's the second way. You obey them. Number two, you honor your parents by honoring their name. You don't want to do anything to drag your parents' name or reputation down because of your action. We'll talk a little bit about this next week, about not taking the name of the Lord, the importance of the word of name. Proverbs 10:1 says, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish one is a sorrow to his parents. Question is, do you speak well of your dad and mom? Or do you talk negatively about your dad and mom? For some of you get the Waverly paper, you know, and for the last really about 3 or 4 months, every on the front page, they've been highlighting seniors and tells a little bit about them, what they enjoyed in high school, what they're going to do. And every one of these little interviews they do with these kids, they ask them, you know, who's been their biggest support, or who do they admire more? And it was a couple of weeks ago, and it just struck me. And I don't know this girl's name. Some of you maybe do in town, Caitlin Friedman. But she says this, my parents' unconditional love and support have shaped me into the person I am today, she said. They are the great examples of the type of person I want to grow up to be, and I will forever be grateful to call them mom and dad. That's what it means to honor your mom and dad, to speak well of your mom and dad. Well, you're outside the home now, okay? How do you honor your parents? You've left home. Number one, respect. Again, speak kindly to your parents. Speak kindly about your parents. I want to just read your paragraph I was reading last night of 6 ways to honor your parents. And this guy says, Christians, speak well of your parents and refuse to speak evil of them. We need to speak well of our parents. We need to speak well of them while they are alive and speak well of them after they have died. to speak well of them to our siblings, to our spouses, and to our children. We need to speak well of them to our churches and communities, modeling a countercultural kind of honoring and respect that has long since gone missing in too many contexts. Christians, speak well of your parents and refuse to speak evil of them. That is the respect that we are to have for our children. Her children rise up and call her blessed. And all of us children, we know our parents didn't do it all right, right? And you're a parent, you know that you're not doing it all right. I think I shared before when our son had their first child, and I wrote him and his wife a letter, and it was, I told him I had given him the gift of imperfect parenting, and that we hadn't done it all right, but we were handing off to him this gift of imperfect parenting so that he now could be challenged, right, to do it better in his own parenting. We as parents, we've all messed up, right, and we are to show honor to them. My dad or my mom, and we just, you know, there's just they were a mess in my life, and how do I speak well of my parents? And I would answer that question this way. If all you're going to do is focus in on the faults of your parents, you'll never speak well of your parents. But stop back and think about some things in which your parents did right. If all you're going to hone on is what your parents didn't do right, it'll spring up anger and bitterness in your life. And most likely you'll duplicate it in your own life, in your own parenting. But think about what your parents have done right and focus in on that. And speak kindly to them and speak kindly about your parents. I don't have this as a PowerPoint here, but as I was thinking even last night, point number two, we're going to have a point number two in a second, but point number two is forgive your parents. Forgive your parents. And I just think this is so important that for some of you maybe that are struggling with parents and the way they've raised you, but we do have to come to the point where we have to forgive them. Thirdly, would be simply providing care for them. Again, maybe it's financially, maybe it's spending time with them, doing acts of kindness, sending them a, how about this one, sending them a Mother's Day card. Well, I called my mom or I gave her a gift. No, send her a card. Write something down on that card. I read something last night that really I wanted to share with you that I thought was so good. Parents long to see how they have impacted their children, how their children are a reflection of their strengths and their values. You don't realize how important it is to give them credit where you can say, you don't realize how critical it is just to say, you know, everything I really ever learned about saving money, I learned from you. To say, you know, Dad, that was one thing you always taught me that I was really, really appreciative. We can give such esteem privately in one-on-one conversations, or we can do this publicly, perhaps through speeches or sermons or even conversations around holiday feast. Dennis Rainey goes so far as to call children to write a formal tribute to their parents, to present it to them, and to read it aloud in their presence. We can honor our parents by esteeming our parents. I just think this is so important. I have some passion in this sermon because for a lot of things, I learned so many of these things too late in my life. I was thinking last night when my mother died, I wrote a 2.5-page single space tribute to my mom, and I read it at the funeral, and I stuffed it in the casket as I walked by, and I did somewhat, but why didn't I write that 2.5 tribute before she died and read it to her? Provide and care for your
your mothers. There's not a whole lot thing more sadder in this world than to walk in a nursing facility care and to see elderly men and women sit there for weeks without a child or anyone coming to care for them. And this is what it means for us that are out of the home. This is how we honor. This is how we show honor. And no better example, again, if we just always go back to Jesus, that when Jesus is dying on the cross and he's not thinking about himself, Jesus is thinking about who? He's thinking about his mom. And in John chapter 19 and verse 26, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, you know the story, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. We got to move on. What happens if your parents are not worthy of honor? And maybe that question has been raised in your mind as I've been talking here this morning, okay? What happens if, I hope I give you a little taste. I mean, certainly you can think of something, right, that your parents did right and focus in on that and hone in on that. But you're saying, man, what happens if my parents are not worthy of honor in any way? And you know how I'm going to answer, right? God doesn't put conditions on this commandment. He doesn't say, honor your father and mother as long as they're honorable. Even if your parents are not honorable in your eyes, you're responsible to honor them. You're responsible to put them in the place that God has put them in your life. Again, how do you do that? You keep your eyes focused on God rather than the flaws of your parents, the God who handed the authority of their parents to you, and the God who knows you and knows what you needed in your life, who put maybe these imperfect parents that you struggle finding something to honor, but God in his wisdom has put them in your life to mold and to shape you to be who you need to be. What happens if your parents are not worthy of honor? You still honor them. And again, if you need a case study in this one, all you have to do is to go to Jonathan, right? And Jonathan's dad, and I don't know if this is the case, but Jonathan's dad is so evil, King Saul is so evil, that he is throwing javelins and spears trying to kill his own son. And yet, what does Jonathan do? He honors his dad in so many ways, as we read in 1 and 2 Samuel. You're to honor your parents no matter what. Fourthly, well, what happens if you don't honor your parents? Is it that big a deal? Well, I think we already see, and you can see it here in chapter 6 and verse 2, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land that God is giving, it says in Exodus. So Israel's about ready to enter the promised land. And God is telling them that their future as a nation in this new land is dependent upon children honoring their parents. You see, if respect for authority breaks down in the home, it will soon break down in the school, it will soon break down in the workplace, it will soon break down in the community, and it will soon break down in the nation. I think it's Tim Keller said it. It's respect for parents that is the basis for every other kind of respect and every other kind of authority. So what happens when you have a parent that's whole goal is to be their child's friend and not their parent and not their authority figure in their life and fail to teach their child how to submit to them? Well, what happens? Well, I think we see it in our culture today, right? We see the fruits of it. Read 2 Timothy chapter 3 in the first 3 or 4 verses there. A whole society and the culture can't survive when respect for authority breaks down in the home. What happens if you don't honor your parents? Well, society breaks down, and this command specifically was given to Israel as they were getting ready to enter the promised land. But individually, what happens, and we could spend a lot of time here, but Proverbs 30 and verse 17 says, "The eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother
will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by vultures. And we could talk a whole lot about that. What happens to an individual, we know what happens to society, but what happens to an individual when an individual chooses not to honor their parents and learn submit to authority? Question number five, and lastly, well, what happens? Well, what happens when you honor your parents? Well, for a society and a nation, there's societal stability and there's peace. But what about you individually? Well, go back with me to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment. And then what does it say in verse 3? That it may what? That it may go what? That it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Putting your mother in her place, understanding that God has put her in your life as your authority, giving her honor. I think Paul reminds us that God will choose to bless your life. And I'm convinced that if you make this choice and you choose to honor your mother and esteem her highly and give her weight and all the things we've talked about, you sit back and you watch how God will fulfill his promise to you, and it will go well with you. I said it earlier, it's never too late. Okay, so I honor my mom. And no, it's never too late to really take this commandment really seriously and intentionally go the extra mile. And I promise you that if you intentionally take the commandment serious and go the extra mile of practicing and showing honor to your mother, that one of the things that you will see in your life is you will see progress in your walk with God. You will see a new vitality in your spiritual life, because your submission is to who? First, it is to the Lord. And you will experience the smile of God on your life. And you will know the joy of pleasing God in your life when you take seriously this commandment to honor your father and your mother. Father, I thank you again for your sovereign purposes. Again, the sovereign design of creating the family. And in that little nucleus, that little family unit where so much is taught and so much is learned, and this being one of those key components of the importance of the family to learn submission to authority, so that a young child can learn submission to the authority of God and his word. And we're a lot of different places here represented this morning, a lot of different age groups and different spectrums of life. Father, I pray that by God's grace, we would take to heart and contemplate and reflect on just how important it is for us to honor our fathers and our mothers. And speak to our hearts as you will do, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen.